Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, thank you for being with us. It's the first book to provide an all-access look at Steph Curry and the team that has fueled Dub Nation. By the go-to expert on all things Golden State, longtime Warriors beat reporter and Bay Area News Group sports columnist Marcus Thompson II, who's been there for every dribble of Curry's incredible pro career. Marcus is a lifelong Warriors fan turned insider who's been reporting on the team for 12 seasons. He's uniquely qualified to tell the definitive story of a singular talent called the greatest shooter in basketball history. Marcus is a sports columnist for the Mercury News and East Bay Times, the flagship publications of Bay Area News Group. Before covering the NFL and other San Francisco Bay Area pro and college sports, he covered Golden State exclusively as a beat writer for 10 seasons, a graduate of Clark Atlanta University with a BA in Mass Media Arts, a concentration on journalism. Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, is his first book. Marcus Thompson II with us on This Week in America. Marcus, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is such a really interesting book, and what I had to read it twice to make sure I understood this correctly. Leading up to the 2009 draft, Steph's mom goes to Steve Kerr, at the time the general manager of the Suns, and asks, "Do you think my kid is good enough to make it in the NBA?" Even mom had some doubts.
That should tell you how improbable this was, right?
Yes.
That his biggest supporter, the one who's been watching his career since he was a little kid, it's like, "Do you think my son can make it?" That kind of explains the aura around Steph and a lot of the doubt and uncertainty. And it's a microcosm for really his whole basketball life, because he's always been so small and so young looking and so fragile looking that's always the question. It's just hovered over his head like a cloud. Can he do it? Can he make it? High school, can he do it? College, can he do it? Pros, can he do it? And he became who he is by seeking to answer that question, yes.
You know, in June 25th of 2009, seventh pick in the draft, things really changed for the Warriors. And I mentioned you've been a Warrior fan for life. And covering this team, what were the expectations you had and Warriors fans had when he was selected number seven?
You know, there's this always this form of this level of cynicism and skepticism for Warrior fans, because there's been a long line of players like, "Oh, this guy's the one, let me tell you," and then he turns out not to be the one. So I was among the people who were like, "Man, I don't know about this kid. Like, look at him. You know, this is the NBA. He went to Davidson, which is not like a basketball powerhouse."
Right.
So now you start wondering, yeah, I know he's got great statistics, but do those even count? You know, are they relevant? Do they translate? You know, so I was one of the people who were like, "I don't know about this kid. I don't know if he's ready for this level," because for so many years, they drafted a player and it didn't work, you know, from Mike Dunleavy to Anton Jameson. Like, every time they draft somebody, it doesn't work. So Don Nelson was really excited about him, and I know the Warriors loved him. So it's kind of like, all right, let's see why they love him so much. But at the time, it was like, here go the Warriors again, putting all their hope in somebody who might not make it.
We're talking about the new book, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. The book is available all across the country. Marcus Thompson II is the author and our guest on This Week in America. Go to thisweekinamerica.us and you can link on to get information on the book. At what point did you see what they loved so much of in him? When did you realize that, wow, this guy could be the real deal here?
You know, towards the end of his rookie year, when, like, there's a point in the NBA season where it's obvious your team is not very good, right?
Yes, yes.
And everybody's like, all right, this season's over. At that point in his rookie year, the coach, Don Nelson, just said, "You know what, Steph Curry, this is your team now." He just empowered him to be the guy on the team, the man who would run the show. And at that point, he was amazing. he was incredible. And it was like, here's this little kid who, I mean, his jersey is just, it looks like a dress, but couldn't guard him. And he's shooting and he's passing and he's got all of these players around him who nobody's ever heard of. and he's dominating. And at that point I was like, wait a second now, hold on. This guy, I see what they're saying. This guy is pretty good. Because if you can shoot, pass, and dribble in the NBA, I mean, that's 75% of the game. You've got that figured out.
Well, and then all the Warrior fans are like, wait a minute, I think this guy is the real deal as well. And it's interesting you talk about the frustration of being a team that you described as terrible and invisible. And the goal wasn't necessarily to win a championship. It was just to get into the playoffs and maybe, like, surprise somebody.
That's what Warriors fans hope for. Championship was not even in the picture. In the 22-year span, they made the playoff once, and that was in 2007. And that around here is like legend, right? It's the 10-year anniversary of the quote unquote "We Believe" team, and they're coming back to be honored at the game. Like that's how much playoffs like were so rare that the one team that made the playoffs, they're now legends in the Bay Area. So that was the goal. You, as a Warriors fan, you just wanted relevance, right? You just wanted to have a basketball conversation with other Hoop fans and be able to brag about your team, about anything, and that was the goal. It wasn't, you never thought they were going to be the Lakers or the Celtics, right? It was like, hey, just give us a good player who we can brag about, like when we're with our basketball friends, right? That's all we wanted.
Marcus Thompson II with us on This Week in America. The book is Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. It's available all across the country. You talk in the book about the on and off court Steph Curry. A different guy in both of those venues, and LeBron James says, hey, don't be fooled by that smile. Talk about the two sides of him, and you see it both. You cover him, and you see the court side, and you see that smile. You deal with it on a daily basis off the court.
You know, this was one of the real, like, revelatory parts of the book. It's almost like I knew he had it, but really digging into it, it really was revealing just how he's a dichotomy. Because when you know Steph, he's a really good guy. Like, he's a nice guy. He's one of those people, when you meet him, like, and you spend 5 minutes with him, you walk away like, I have a new friend, right?
Yes, yes.
That's his, like, he's a nice guy. He's kind. Every time he sees my daughter, he's really kind. He's just, you know, he's just a good guy. And he always says the right thing. He's had plenty of chances to throw the organization under the bus or complain. He never takes it. And as a reporter, you know, I was trying to get him to take it.
Like, exactly.
Hey, you guys are terrible. Don't you want to say anything about it? He's like, I'm just going to work hard and do the right thing. So as you watch him always kind of do the right thing, value his wife and daughter, right, his daughters, and really kind of cherish being a good person and making that preeminent in his life, then you see this dude on the court, and you're like, wait a second. Who is that guy? And then there's another guy who's dancing and doing tricks and, in essence, showing up the opponent. And so digging into, like, how that other person got created was unique. Because normally guys like Steph, they're the ones who are, you know, kind of quiet on the court. They don't participate in that stuff. You think of a guy like a Tim Duncan or like a Barry Sanders. He used to score a touchdown and just hand the ball to the referee. You would think Steph would be like that. But instead, he's like, you know, shooting and then turning around and not even looking at the shot going in. So getting beneath that and discovering who that person was and what drove him, that was one of the most fun parts of the book to me.
And you really get a sense of who he is when you finish the book and you had unprecedented access in talking to virtually everybody in his life, so you get it from a number of different angles. You talk about the wholesale image. That certainly is a blessing in many cases. A curse in other circumstances, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no question. It's really a tapping into, like, almost like social conditions and just humanity, really. Just when things look too good, we just look at it with skepticism as people, right? Or
yes.
We wait for the other shoe to drop, or we say, hey, I bet it's not really that good, and we want to see some bad. I think that's kind of the existence Steph has. He is so beloved because he's good, and people see him as refreshing. He's viewed as in contrast to the norm, right? Which means if he's good, everybody else must be pretty bad.
Yes.
So, but in that sense, now people are like, man, you're not that. Nobody's that good. Let's find the flaw. What's wrong? I don't like you because you're that good. You're received as that good. So it's really unearthed kind of this interpersonal and social and, like, clique mentality that happens not only in the NBA, but in fans of the NBA. So now some people just don't like Steph just because he's so popular. right? They don't like the popular kid. Some people don't like him because they don't think he doesn't deserve it. And it's really interesting watching how he handles this, because out of all of it, he never asked for it. Right? He never said,
exactly,
I want to be the most popular guy. He just did. He was himself, and it drew people. And out of that, there's a backlash. There's a price to pay.
Talk about that this season, because this season more than ever, he's dealing, of course, with that, because it's sort of like warrior fatigue around the country now. And it's only been a couple of seasons, but others are like, wait a minute, what's up with this? And the other part of this is the sacrifice he made this year, getting Durant on the team, a sacrifice that many people perceived as a weakness on his part.
You know, that's the interesting part. When I look at this, I think the big thing is it all happened so fast, that it was so jarring that it automatically draws a reaction. And I remember that in game 6 of the finals. When Steph went into this, he was a unanimous MVP. And then when he threw his mouthpiece.
Yes.
And then after the game, his wife had comments about the referees being, the NBA being rigged. And it was just like a bad day for the Curry family. And I remember thinking, wow, a lot of people are happy about this moment.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who are like, see, I told you.
Exactly. I told you so.
Yeah, right? And I was thinking like, wow, I wonder how that feels for him. It really did happen so fast that even it was jarring for him. I think he looks at it like, I can take it, right? This is my rite of passage. And I think he got Kevin Durant so he could continue to dominate. Like, I know that. He wants to be in this position he's in for the next 5 or 6 years. And he figured out, if it's Kevin Durant and I, we both will be here. And then you're going to have to deal with us. And then you're going to have to, either respect what I've done or just be bitter about the fact that you don't like me and I'm still here. So really what looked like a position of weakness was a Game of Thrones-esque grab of power, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it was.
The book is Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Marcus Thompson II, our guest and the author on the book. A couple of minutes left in the book, and you talk about the big game on Christmas Day 2016 against the Cavs. They lose for, like, I think, the fourth consecutive time. You talk about he was dejected after the game. He usually throws that off, and he couldn't that day. And people are looking at them thinking he's really having a hard time adjusting. In fact, I think you said that it seems like he didn't know that this bringing Durant in would cost him his rhythm, the lifeblood of his unique game. Did they get that worked out to everybody's satisfaction, do you think, during the season?
I think they did. I think they ended up kind of shifting how they operated. So when Kevin Durant came, a lot of the impetus in the organization was making sure he was happy. Right? He was like, hey, this guy made this huge sacrifice at the cost of his reputation to come play with us. So out of that, they were on this push, this campaign, to make sure he liked it, make sure it was everything they told him it would be, and kind of, get him comfortable. On top of that, he still, he has to make a decision about next year if he wants to come back. So obviously they want him to come back, and he wants to come back, but you just don't want anything to go wrong, right? So out of that, they started doing things like catering to how he plays basketball. And what they learned was Kevin Durant is better, and everybody is better, when he fits into how the Warriors play, which is passing, movement, space, and, their unique style. And instead, they let Kevin Durant play his way, which was give him the ball and go do your thing. So in that process, they kind of lost what makes Steph so great, is the passing, the movement, the space. So they switched. They said, all right, let's go back to how we play, and let's fit Kevin Durant into that. And to Durant's credit, he said, hey, let's do it this way because I can fit in, and this team is better if Steph is running the show. And they figured that out. Then they ended up 50-9. Now, Kevin Durant's injury kind of, stopped that process.
Yes.
And then they won 13 in a row, and it was almost like, wait a second, it's Kevin Durant a problem. But I think they're now, like, they're getting that back. They're kind of working back to what they built, and it's no longer the way it was, where it was just give the ball to Durant and let him be great. Now Kevin Durant is kind of infiltrating into the system that made the Warriors really good in the first place.
You end up closing the book, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, available all across the country, by saying he just needs to trust that he's as good a player as the rest of us know he is. Is he close to understanding that?
I think he is. And actually, you know what? I think Kevin Durant, this Kevin Durant situation,
yes,
like, helped him figure that out. Because around here, people were not happy with how the Warriors looked and how Steph Curry was diminished, in a sense. And all of this is, like, really almost like in essence or nuance, right? Real inside basketball type of stuff, because Steph was averaging 24 points a game, which, you know, still really good. But it was just the spirit of how they played. And I think when they kind of made the transition and saw that it was really clear that they're better with Steph Curry being 1A and Durant being 1B, and then it worked, I think that was the kind of affirmation he needed. And I think Kevin Durant helped give him that affirmation by saying, we need you as 1A. I think that was the validation he was looking for, at least from a you know, regular season standpoint. Now, the ultimate validation is going to be winning a championship. So if they win a championship now, it's like, okay, I invited this superstar to come play with us, and we won a championship, and we did it with me being 1A, and it kind of validates that he is the epicenter of this team.
We come away from reading Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, knowing a whole lot more about him and basketball in Golden State. It's an excellent read. Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, Marcus Thompson II, the author, sports columnist with the Bay Area News Group. Marcus, I know it's a busy time of year for you. Thank you so much for making some time to talk with us today. An excellent book, and thank you for being with us on the program.
I appreciate you. And you know what? Thank you for reading it. You know, when you write a book, like, one thing I've learned, I'm just happy that people read it, whether you like it or not. Thank you for reading what I'm about.
You're welcome, and I liked it, and you're a good author. I can't wait for book number two, and I came away from that thinking, you know, I really like this guy now. I know a whole lot more about him than I did before I spent the time reading the book, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and the book's available all across the country. Marcus, once again, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.